This is a disclaimer for this episode you're about to listen to. Me and Frisbee, who's here.
Hello.
And Muhammad, who is also here, but he's in a different room. We are on vacation. We're in the lap of luxury in some Caribbean place. So this episode is one that we pulled out from the vaults. We took an episode from one of the first, one of the first 5 years or so that we did the show. A real classic. And, we figured we'd dust it off and re-put it on the feed for everybody to enjoy. This was a great one. This was one of your favorite ones. One of your favorite episodes, right, Mr. Frisbee?
Absolutely. We're real old men.
Yeah. This is actually one of your first shows that you did. Because the original co-host, Mark Franklin, he had recently quit. And you took over for him right around this time, right?
Yeah, wasn't he, he was blacklisted, wasn't he?
Yeah, we found some communist literature on him. He had to go. Probably still in Guantanamo to this very day, that guy.
What a maroon.
Yeah, so without any further ado, this is Classic Pool Party from the Vaults.
Vault 13.
Bro, what's up?
Dude, just watching a dating game.
Right on. Hey, dude, guess what tonight?
What?
Pool party, my house.
Yeah!
Welcome to Pool Party Radio. This is the number one greaser podcast in all of Cuba. I'm your host, Parker, joined as always by Jason Frisbee.
What's up, nerds? Haha, just kidding.
How are you doing this week, Mr. Frisbee? The week? This is the last week of the year 1952. How are you feeling about it?
It's been a tough year.
Tough year for you? Yeah, been a lot of turmoil in the world. I should also mention real quick that we're joined also, as always, by our intern, the very first intern we ever had on this show. Probably an intern who will stay with us the entire length of the show, I feel, because he's part of the family. And that's John Brown.
Hallelujah, holla back.
Intern John Brown is here. It's good to have you.
I'm okay with this guy. The only thing that I can recommend is that I just hope he never gets replaced by a robot. That would probably devastate me.
Never. He would never do that. He's here. He's real. He'll always be real.
Italian son?
Yeah, what?
Italian son?
Beautiful.
I'm human, you know, believe it or not.
I believe it. I believe it all the way. This guy and myself, real teamsters, he and I. Oh, wait, that's a bad thing right now. Never mind. He and I are best buddies, I would say.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
I hear you, man.
So this...
Real hip.
That he is. I would like to, before we get into the actual show, I would like to remind people that you can send us a letter via the United States Post Office, something that will always exist and always be lucrative. And you can do that at poolpartyradio@gmail.com. And you can also visit our world headquarters, which is located in a city called poolpartyradio.com. Texas. It's in Texas as well. West Texas. So without any further ado, let's get into what this episode is all about. And this episode, of course, is going to be the year in review for 1952, the year that we are now in, the current year of our Lord.
Yeah, I mean, Parker and I, Mr. Bowman and myself, we're no Steve Allens or anything, but we have a few insights into this year. And it's been a real pooper of a year.
That's true. It's been a real salt dick of a year. Wait, I'm not doing it right. The first big news that happened this year, January 14th, I'm sure we all remember this. We were all huddled around our brand new 6-inch black and white television sets. The Today Show premiered on NBC. And I predict it will become one of the longest running television series in America.
That's an all right prediction. I think it's got a lot of advertisements for coffee, which is nowhere near out of the ordinary for TV shows these days. I'm pretty sure that's going to be a mandatory thing forever. Always advertising coffee, between breaks. But, I don't know if it has the gusto. Like they're talking about current event stories, If they don't do some real ridiculous shit on this show, I don't see how it's going to stick around.
Yeah. You know, God forbid in the future, this is basically just used as a way to talk about YouTube clips and to, you know, bring on popular South Korean pop stars who America has fallen in love with, sort of ironically, but sort of genuinely. You know, I fear that the Today Show will devolve into that sort of thing with time, and I hope that doesn't happen.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know how we're going to get a Korean pop star over here. I mean, the place is going to be a mess forever, am I right?
You got that right. I hope they bring our boys home soon, if they are over there currently. I'm not sure. We'll get to it, I guess. Also, I hope that, you know, a show like this doesn't devolve into people not really having actual conversations and instead having feigned conversations that go absolutely nowhere. I hope that if it happens that the Today Show becomes a thing that is people voicing non-opinions constantly on a show built around two or more people talking. I hope that if that happens that some other technology will appear where people can get on there and actually talk about the way they feel about certain subjects, and that will become the future rather than antiquated television shows. Don't you feel the same way, Mr. Frisbee?
That's a bizarre thing to say. You sound like a real Aldous Huxley or something. Predicting all this weird sci-fi mumbo-jumbo, you turkey. I don't understand where you're coming from.
Well, I'm not a communist.
Well, I was assuming you were. You Rusky. What are you going to do? Launch a dog into space next? Jeez.
Those would be fighting words in a day such as our own day.
Yeah, those are currently fighting words from what I understand. But that would be bizarre to imagine, like, you know, even if people had that accessibility to some sort of higher technology, whatever, I mean, why would they just look at pornography or something? What would be the point of looking up, you know, ways to articulate their views on current events?
By pornography, you of course mean the nudie cuties that Doris Wishman is currently making?
Those stag films that your dad holds in the basement.
Moving on to February 6th, a day that will not soon be forgotten. In the United States, a mechanical heart is used for the first time in a human patient. This seems fucking weird. Like, I would think that maybe people in our age right now, 1952, thought this was sacrilegious or something, but wouldn't it be easier to transplant a heart than to use a mechanical one, or to, like, get a baboon heart or something? Why was a robot heart the first thing that people went for back in the days? Unless,
because
of course, that's
rules.
Already happened. What?
Yeah, I mean, robots are all around. I want to see more robots. I hope one day that somebody has the foresight to make some sort of mechanical cop, a robotic policeman, at least a movie about one.
Yeah, I think that would work out well. But I mean, like, I'm assuming that heart transplants don't exist in such a time as our own time. And I mean, do people even know about DNA yet in our year right now, in current times? Like, I don't know. It's so bizarre that mechanical hearts would be the first thing that people would go to, I assume. I'm assuming it's the first thing. As it's dead technology in the future, I'm assuming.
I think it's just the current fascination, and hopefully the last ever fascination with steampunk. For some reason, people are really interested in reviving, like, this Jules Verne style steam technology, which I imagine is what this heart is made of—just gears and cogs, right?
Yeah, this dude with the mechanical heart—he's going to be the belle of the ball when he goes to Comic-Con. In a few short decades.
Awesome. And also, it's going to be the inspiration for maybe some sequel to a movie that doesn't get enough acclaim, and the gentleman in the film has to recharge his heart every so often. That'd be interesting, right?
Yeah. I bet that this guy's mechanical heart is basically, like, you can, like, open up his chest, and it's just like a hamster going around in a wheel.
That'd be rad.
March 20th. This is a day that's probably near and dear to your heart, as you've been to the mother country of Japan. The United States Senate ratifies a peace treaty with Japan. Hey, this is amazing, because the United States Senate is ratifying peace treaties. What a world we live in right now, where the Senate and the Congress and people like this are actually waging lawful wars for one. And, you know, it's good that we have peace with Japan, as they're radical. I mean, right now, it's mostly just samurais and stuff, but later on, they're going to come out with some really sweet comic books and TV shows.
And tentacle prawn. Believe me, the place is obsessed with octopus sex. They do not care about zoophilia there.
Yeah. Now, you've been to Japan. What are, you know, did you notice anything? Like, what are the Japanese feelings culturally about World War II? Did you pick up on anything when you were there?
Quiet reserve, like they want to get on with it. I mean, obviously it's a government-fueled war, an emperor's war. Like, you kind of have to back it because it's the emperor, you know, child of the sun god and all this. So kind of have to deal with it, but it seems like they just want to turn around and do their own thing, start their own companies, start families, all that kind of stuff.
They
just want to move past it. So it's kind of weird. It's kind of this tolerance of U.S. presence there. I mean, it's still there.
Does there seem to be any sort of like feeling of regret about the whole situation on account of they kicked off some stuff that led to the most horrible, I say horrible in terms of the violence, not in terms of the morality.
Mm-hmm.
Horrible, you know, bombings that have ever existed in humanity's history. Like, is there any sort of like weird feelings about that? I assume there probably would be.
Yeah. But it's not like weird feelings like when you're at a, you know, one of these swinging cocktail parties and you say just some like off-color joke about someone's mother. You're kind of like, ooh, I regret that. Man, I wish I could take that back. And there's nothing they can, you know, there's nothing that they really could pinpoint, I think. Besides that, it was just, again, like the mass of people in Hiroshima and Nagasaki, it's just kind of like we were ordered otherwise about these bombings. Like we were advised otherwise. You know, it wasn't our government's decision to surrender, and we got the brunt, basically.
Yeah.
It'd be like if your landlord was saying, hey, don't worry about this fire. It's totally cool. The rest of the building is totally fireproof. You'll be okay. And then, you know, the floor caves in.
Yeah.
What are you going to do? How are you going to watch Honeymooners now? You know what I'm saying?
You wouldn't be able to.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's got to be weird. Well, you know, and I mean, you know, the feeling over there right now is such that I assume there's going to be, it's going to be on the collective minds of the Japanese people, this whole war and this whole atomic thing, so much so that in a few years they're going to make some really sweet movies about radioactive monsters that fight.
One can only hope.
That's
honestly.
That will probably be the best side effect of this whole thing.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to the creative inspiration of being bombed by nuclear weapons. What does that do? What does that do for your muse?
March 22nd. Moving on to less atrocious violence. Wernher von Braun publishes the first in his series of articles entitled "Man Will Conquer Space Soon," including ideas for manned flights to Mars and the Moon. This seems pretty legit. I think that within this decade, we will probably conquer outer space.
Yeah, I can't wait to live on Mars. Are you excited?
Yeah. It's just right around the corner, you know?
Yeah, I think it's going to be like 5 years from now. I mean, we're already talking about it, which is a really good sign. It's like a stone's throw away.
Yeah.
That's not a legitimate measure of time, by the way. That's just distance. But a stone's throw away in, never mind, time units, I guess.
Yeah, Wernher von Braun, he seems pretty optimistic. I mean, you know, we just now established that we can control the power of flight like 20 minutes ago. But going to conquer space soon. And I like that he's posing it, we will conquer space soon, which assumes that there's a lot of stuff out there to conquer. Not just a bunch of space dust and bullshit.
Yeah.
And emptiness.
Specifically just Mars and the Moon. But space, generally, will conquer it. And hell yeah, he's optimistic. He's got an exclamation point at the end of the book's title.
That's true.
No one does that. Just this guy.
Mm-hmm. April 28th. More sad Japanese stuff. The Treaty of San Francisco goes into effect, formally ending the occupation of Japan. We're calling all our buddies home.
For now and forever. Never again will there be U.S. soldiers in Japan for any reason.
Yeah.
Any useless reason, just sitting there.
I like that we called for a peace treaty on March 20th, and then over a month later, we finally end the occupation. We're just going to peacefully run your country for a little while. It's a peace treaty, but we're still in charge.
Yeah, I can't wait till government gets more streamlined. It's just going to be enough with this bureaucratic stuff and just straight into it. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Enough with this. Mark my words. This is the last time we're going to occupy another country.
And San Francisco, of all places, to have this happen, that's really strange. You got all those beatniks running around. That'd be weird.
That's true. And a mere 3 hours away from all the Japanese internment camps.
Mm-hmm.
So that's nice. Hey, let's have a peace treaty here with you guys. Oh, never mind all your buddies over there shackled to fences. Don't worry about those guys. You can barely even see them.
Yeah, a whole day trip away to the other internment camps. You're on U.S. soil. I'm really confusing my distance and time ratios here.
Next, June 5th, we've got the remains of a Viking ship that are found near Boston, Massachusetts. I guess
this is awesome.
Yeah. Anyway. I guess you could say that these Vikings were shipping up to Boston. this is awesome. How do you feel about Viking ships being found near Boston, Massachusetts?
It rules. I wish there was like some sort of musical genre devoted to Viking lore or something. Like some sort of light jazz. I don't know. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. The heaviest music we have right now. Light jazz.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I can imagine, like, just hanging out in a suit talking to friends in my loft apartment overlooking the city and just talking about, like, oh, yeah, this is that Viking jazz that all the kids are listening to. How awesome would that be?
That would be sweet.
Viking music.
Yeah.
Not, like, legit Viking music. I'm talking about, like, you know, something updated.
Yeah. I love this, though. I love the idea that Vikings were just getting in their boats and coming over here way before the Spaniards, way before the Irish, the English, all those other freaks. You know, they came over here. They didn't feel the need to set up shop and start living here. They really enjoyed living in Iceland or wherever. But they just came
just checking it out.
Yeah, they came and just checked it out, wrote their names in the snow with their pee, and went back home.
Yeah, that's what Vikings are known for. It's cold out here, so time to sign my name.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that the East Coast at the time that this Viking ship may have been found, because it's a Viking ship that was found off of Boston, Massachusetts, which definitely means it was discarded, which could mean that the Vikings were killed or had to make an escape some other way, or lived out their lives on the shore and just put the ship around. What does that say about people who were already here?
Well, there were no people already here. It's always been us.
Except in Missouri, right?
Yeah. It's always just been us Anglo-Saxons who've been living in America.
Yeah, I had no idea what I was thinking there. You're right, yeah. It's a mystery why that Viking ship is there. Just like dinosaur bones, right?
Yeah. Who knows? That's probably a hoax. June 14th. The keel is laid for the U.S. nuclear submarine, the USS Nautilus, which is named after the Nautilus from 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea, bringing it back to more steampunk stuff, as we talked about earlier. People in our year, 1952, love steampunk stuff.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's just everywhere. Steampunk here, steampunk there.
Steampunk with a wiffle ball bat.
Yeah. Exactly that.
July 19th through 26th, the Washington, D.C. UFO incident. Several alleged UFOs tracked on multiple radars. Jets scramble on several occasions, and the objects take evasive action only to return after the jets leave the area. This is awesome. I worked at a newspaper a while back, and we had, you know, all the archives, all the you know, papers from like the, from nowadays, from the 50s, 40s, 60s, all these decades that are around right now.
Yeah.
And, you know, clearly. And, you know, on, you could open up a newspaper from 1952, for example, and just right on the front page, it would say, you know, UFO seen and UFO seen over Wright Patt Air Force Base, which is in Dayton, where we are from.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, or I've even seen stuff, you know, you open up a newspaper and it says, you know, Sasquatch sighted in Washington, you know, stuff like this. Like, there used to be all this stuff like that in the newspaper, like, all the time. Like, you know, I went through a bunch of those papers and it was like once a week you'd see something like that. And now not so much. They don't get reported on in normal newspapers too often. Sometimes, I guess. I actually just saw a new story today in 1952 about some guys who claimed to have Bigfoot DNA, and they had it tested, and the results came back to say that it is not human, but it is a like hominid ape that is related to humans. So perhaps Bigfoot's is real. So that's
Bigfoot's
exciting.
Is real. It's real.
But yeah, but I mean, I love these olden days when all these UFOs and stuff were being reported on like real news, because they probably are real news. There are probably UFOs.
Did you have any newspapers that went back to the turn of the century?
Yes.
So you had stuff about like McKinley assassination and all that, like people pickling all their food and stuff, and growing out facial hair.
Yeah, I assume so. Like the dudes.
That'd be an awesome thing to look at. I'd be interested in it.
Go back to the 90s, faggots!
Yeah, I think they had him going back that far. I don't know. The newspaper was like real old, from like the 1850s or 80s or something. But how do you feel about UFOs? You think you don't think they're real, right?
I personally welcome our new insect overlords.
With that, July 21st, a magnitude 7.5 earthquake strikes Tehachapi, California, destroying unreinforced brick buildings. This is like 2 hours away from my house.
Yikes.
Yeah, and, you know, just last month or whatever, we had an earthquake that was like an hour away from my house that was like 4.5, and mm-hmm. It almost knocked me over because I wasn't ready for it. So I could only imagine how fun a 7.5 would be. I'd probably be shaking and shimmying, and that would be fun. Also, Tehachapi is a cool place because I regularly see forest fires there. Like, you know, how everybody always talks about how in the summer California catches on fire. It happens there a lot. And I saw a dead mountain lion on the side of the road there once. And also, it snows there in the winter. So it's like the best of everything. Everything you could ever want. It's basically like living in the Lord of the Rings in Tehachapi.
I like that you equate fun with forest fires.
Well, forest fires are necessary to like you know, keep things growing nicely.
Oh, I didn't say they were unnecessary. I just like your idea of fun. Like, well, I want impending danger. This necessary impending danger.
I find anything necessary to be fun.
You are weird. But you mentioned that mountain lions are there too, right?
Yeah.
Have you ever played, do you think you'll ever play a game called Red Dead Redemption?
I would love to play that game one day, but I don't think that I will, even though I really want to.
Okay.
But I'm
just curious, because yeah. I would imagine a game with that title would have mountain lions in it, and that'd be a very, very interesting opponent.
That sounds
in
fun.
Said video game. Yeah.
In about 60 years, that game is going to be $30 for the Game of the Year edition, and maybe I'll go. If I ever win about $35 on the slot machines, I think maybe I'll buy it this weekend.
$35. Keep dreaming, you greaser.
You stinky weasel.
You Mickey Mouse. Yeah, I'm sure I'll talk to you more about that in 60 years.
Yeah.
What else do we have to recap?
Well, first I want to ask intern John Brown if he's ever won any money playing the slots at a casino.
I got so much cash, I can't even bend wallets.
Mm-hmm. I've had that problem, too. It's hard bending wallets sometimes.
You feel me, though?
Oh, I feel you. I'm not sure what that means, but hopefully it's not literal.
Hallelujah, holla back.
All right.
I also attend church every Sunday because it's the 50s.
Let's see what else we have. The United Nations begins work in the new United Nations building in New York. When I was in New York, I guess very recently, I was just walking around and I stumbled upon that building. And the only thing it made me think of is all the times that Magneto has attacked it in comic books.
Which building?
The United Nations building.
Oh, yeah.
That's about all it's good for. Those guys don't really do anything. They send rice to
Africa. Just a site for Magneto to make a point.
Yeah, it's just a place for Magneto to tell us humans that he's homo superior.
I've got something to say. Wah, 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 wah.
And then he just goes on, blah, 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 homo sapiens, blah, 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 homo superior.
Superior, yeah.
You are a hobo.
November 4th, this is something you may remember. Republican Dwight Eisenhower, who on a past episode or perhaps a future episode, I don't know, this is hard, I said was a good president because he invented, or I guess will invent, highways. He was elected president in what appears to be a landslide. In fact, the only states who voted against him are like your state.
The Deep South.
Yeah, the Deep South. Arkansas, Louisiana, Georgia, South Carolina, people like that.
Even Kentucky and West Virginia. Wow.
Yeah. Odd. It's odd to see that. Or it will be odd in the future to see the blue states being the Deep South states.
Yeah, right now it seems perfectly normal for some reason.
but that's good. I like Eisenhower. I clearly voted for him. And I hope to see those highways pretty soon. Oh, on November 29th, President-elect Dwight Eisenhower fulfills a political campaign promise by traveling to Korea to find out what can be done to end the conflict. Now, I like that he fulfills this promise and goes, but I mean, this is 1952. We do have phones. He could just call a dude over there and ask what needs to be done. He doesn't really need to go. It seems a little needlessly symbolic, don't you think?
Well, these phones, they're real cumbersome. Like, they've been around for a few decades, but I don't see how they can last. Like, unless you can start playing little games on them or using the find directions or literally anything else, I don't see why you would use a phone. Like, it's just a bunch of spinning, like you have to insert your finger into the rotary, and it takes forever. Like, I have to cancel meals to make a phone call.
Yeah, I think that that the written word, letters, delivered by the post office are the main way to communicate with people, and always will be such. I don't think there's ever going to be a time when people are not infatuated with the magic of the written word.
Absolutely. Are you feeling honest on this? John Brown. Absolutely. I love this guy. I don't see how I could ever hate him.
Yeah, I think you guys are going to be good friends for like a very long time.
Absolutely. And but yeah.
And also John Brown, he's not the kind of guy who has a lot of enemies. I mean, you've got like a lot of friends, right, John Brown?
I try to keep my friends close, but my enemies closer.
Wise words.
Yeah, who would you say is your best friend, John Brown?
Randolph.
Ah, yes, Randolph.
I'd love to meet him.
Yeah, yeah.
December 1st. This just happened recently. Christine Jorgensen, a transsexual woman in Denmark, has become the recipient of the first successful sexual reassignment operation. That's nice news. Denmark is on the cutting edge of these sorts of things. I guarantee you, now that we have the first successful sexual reassignment surgery here in 1952, there's no way that in 60 years people are still going to be trying to not give basic human rights to transsexual people. I mean, 60 years is a long time. I think we're going to make a lot of progress on that.
Tell me about it. Yeah, when we're on Jupiter, we're just out of the solar system, it's not going to matter what sex you are or who you want to have sex with. This will all be as the beatniks call it, as a regular Kerouac would call it, real chill, real cool.
Everyone's going to be pretty chill in the future.
Like, there's no reason to, you know, keep up with this stuff. This, oh, I don't know. I don't know about guys liking guys and whatnot, if that's a thing now. I don't think it is, but still. Yeah, I mean, if a person can change their sex, so be it. Let's go to Mars. Let's conquer space soon! Exclamation point.
Mm-hmm. It's a real optimistic time we're living in.
I know. These next 10 years are going to be fantastic.
Mm-hmm. We're going to be conquering Mars. We're going to be welcoming transsexual people into our open arms. I can't imagine anybody ever hating anybody with the prefix of sexual in their title, ever. Aside from maybe pansexuals, if anything like that ever pops up, not going to like that. That's going to be weird.
I have no idea what that is, but I am confused.
Well, they're dorks. And, you'll know. Okay. You'll see it coming one day. Nerds, the whole lot of them.
All right, I'll keep my eyes out for it.
December 14th, the first successful surgical separation of Siamese twins is conducted in Cleveland, Ohio. Cleveland, a beautiful city. A lot of prosperity there, and I predict that prosperity will continue on indefinitely.
It's a regular St. Louis. Like, it goes Cleveland, Detroit, New York, Chicago, and whatever is on the West Coast where you are.
Who knows?
Yeah, there's something, I'm sure. Hollyweird, am I right?
Mm-hmm. Where all the Pinkos live.
Yeah, yeah. How many communists are there? A lot of red. I'm just kidding. But seriously. Cleveland? That was what we're talking about?
Yeah. A town that in the future will have so many sports championships, you're not even going to believe it.
I know. They have one for like every team. So what's there's no reason they're not going to have anything within the next 5 years or so.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it would be awful for them to just rely on one person as their own saving grace. Can you imagine, like, a city like Cleveland having to just focus on one person for any of their sports teams?
The town's too big. They're going to have multiple superstars in that city.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. I mean, Cleveland Indians? Come on. And what a great mascot. Am I right?
You got that right.
It's hard to get upset at that thing.
So, yeah, that's about all the big things that happened this year. I would like also to throw a happy birthday out to Jeff Goldblum, a guy who was born on October 22nd. He's only a couple of months old, but I expect a lot of big things out of him. A lot of good acting in movies like Death Wish and The Fly, I assume.
An Invasion of the Body Snatchers.
You get that
which
right.
Should be remade by then, I think.
I hope they don't start remaking all my favorite movies, like Invasion of the Body Snatchers and the Fly, I guess, and the Thing from Another World.
You always hate it when that happens.
I'm going
to
be so
I can't
mad.
Imagine Jeff Goldblum doing justice to any of those
yeah.
or making them better in any way.
You know, the worst thing that I would feel that if they started remaking all these classic movies, I would hate, like, if they remade The Thing from Another World and instead of there not really being a monster at all in it, if they put in, like, all these practical effects of, like, scary monsters, I think that would really cheapen the whole movie.
Yeah, don't even talk to me about practical effects. I want shoddy-looking makeup and creaky doors all the way.
Mm-hmm.
Do not add anything that's actually scary. I want to be spooked by subtle scares.
Yeah, I just want backgrounds that are painted on an old sheet and no practical effects at all.
Am I right? The more unconvincing the landscape, the more I feel like I'm there. Another birthday shout-out from July 17th goes to Mr. David Hasselhoff, who I'm sure will live a long and fruitful career as an entertainer on the stateside. He's going to really tear it up, I'm sure. So welcome to the world, David Hasselhoff. You're an actor, singer, producer, and businessman.
Well, that's our year-end roundup. Now we're going to do a part of the show where we answer regular mails
Written word
males. And it's called Put Your Fingers in the Air so Frisbee Can See Where You're At, for some reason.
This song is truly American. It will never get old. Our first letter here comes from Blake Sell. And I know, this guy never writes. We'll probably never hear anything from him again. But we appreciate the writing. We hope you do write back. Blake Sell's corner topic, he suggests to us. So today is a day of panic shopping. He's talking about Black Friday. I've given up on that whole idea of going to stores anytime from now to December 26th, unless it's to buy beer. I do all my holiday shopping online. Do either of you guys get caught up in shopping hysteria? Or are you crotchety old men like myself that can't stand the bustle and get frustrated by the traffic and kids on your lawn?
I always look at the deals. Like, me and my wife spent a lot of time looking at deals this year.
Yeah.
But we didn't really, like, buy much of anything. I bought the new Gavin McInnes book, as it was on sale on Amazon.
What was that book called?
How to Piss in Public.
Have you read any of it yet?
No, not yet. I haven't got it yet. But it's the guy who co-founded Vice Magazine. He's a funny dude.
This sounds good.
Yeah, he's a nice guy. So I look forward to reading that. And in the past, like, my brother used to work at a real small local place, local to Arkansas, I believe, called Walmart. And every year they always have the new NBA game, which mm-hmm. I don't think is a sport that's been invented yet. They always have the new NBA game for $25, which is like almost $50 off of normal price. So I usually every year I send him in with $25 since he has to work at Walmart that day anyway to give me that game. But I couldn't this year, which I'm kind of bummed out about. But I'm probably going to have to stop buying NBA games soon because Steve Nash is going to retire soon and there's not going to be any point to playing it because he's my favorite player. But what are you going to do?
I guess not buy those games anymore. Jesus.
Yeah.
There's this huge welcome discount on it, it sounds like, but damn. Full price is what, like...
60
bucks? 65?
Yeah, 60. Especially, and it's like so hard to spend that money on a basketball game, because next year, they're just making another one. It's not like Fallout, where you get one every 3 or 4 years. Like,
yeah, they're making the 1-2 years from now, right now.
Yeah.
At least starting like new... you know, physics and stuff on it.
Yeah, I haven't even gone through an entire career mode in the new game on the last one, and the new one's already out. It's frustrating. I gotta play more video games, I guess.
This sounds frustrating.
It is.
I never had anyone go in and buy me a video game until I was too embarrassed to buy one, and I'll give you a guess as to what video game that was I was too embarrassed to buy.
Was it the Pokemans?
You are absolutely correct. Yeah. It was my brother's friends who worked at a Best Buy. And I was like, hey, can you pick up these Pokemans for me? I'm real interested in these Pokemans. Blue or red is fine, either one. And for enough money to get them both. Apparently, his coworkers had quite a laugh at him for this. But he didn't work there much longer after that.
Yeah. Also, he was chased out by all the embarrassing remarks about his Pokemans.
Yeah. You're going to catch them all, dude? No.
Man, those Pokemans are like, you know, they're real old school now. They're real indicative of a certain decade. I'm not sure which one, though.
Go back to the 90s, faggots!
Our next letter here comes from Greg of Hide the Bodies. You can find sometime 50 years from now.
Mm-hmm. They make fine top hats, handkerchiefs. They make, you know, fine apparel, like those cool gloves that are like white with like the three black lines on them like Mickey Mouse wears.
Yeah, if you're really putting on the Ritz, if you know what I'm saying, then Hide the Bodies has it. You can find them, I assume, at some sort of acronym like HTB Kicks Ass. You probably add a .com after that. If we're talking about some sort of future technology, I don't know what that would be, though.
Hopefully that doesn't stand for .communist.
Oh, believe me, what a world it would be if everything were .communist. You can take that as any way you want it. Just don't arrest me, please.
Yeah. Those guys are also from the New England area, where John Brown, he used to live in the New England area. John Brown, what was your least favorite part about New England?
Pay that Delaware tax.
All right, that sort of works.
That's agreeable. Greg goes on to say, "Hello, friends. I'm celebrating a belated Cranksgiving, and I couldn't help but notice that Cheb Chelios / Jason Statham is British. Jason, attack! Parker, defend! Also, I hope your care packages got there safely. For you guys, our button maker was elsewhere, otherwise you would be holding the handful of a Frisbee's right to choose pins. We'll have to ship them in our next package. Cakes and kittens, Greg from Hide the Bodies." Greg is good guy Greg. He is an awesome, awesome, awesome fellow.
He's the best.
Yeah. But best around.
Now, seeing as to how we're in 1952, abortion is not legal, yet a lot of these promiscuous young women want to get them. Would you accept a Frisbee's right to choose? The idea that the only person who should be able to choose, not some Congress full of old men, not women with babies in their stomachs, only you, Jason Frisbee, in this climate of 1952 where abortion is illegal, would you take up this responsibility and enact a Frisbee's right to choose in this day and age?
Well, here in 1952, I cannot see how I could, but I'm imagining, like, you know, 60 years down the line, I'll at least have formed some sort of opinion on this subject.
You're going to have to mull it over for a couple of nights.
Couple of decades, yeah. Like, when we're on Pluto, because that's still a planet, I'm going to, I'm going to call you up on a rotary phone and tell you yay or nay on Frisbee's right to choose.
All right, well, let's make a promise right here and now. 60 years from now, give or take a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
Let's meet back up and talk about this.
You got it. I'm penciling you in to my Trapper Keeper of events right now. I mean, my Moleskine notebook. Woo! Thanks, John Brown. He's really encouraging about these sort of things.
He loves Moleskine.
Yeah. And thank you, Greg.
Well, we should answer the part about the Jason Statham. I think, you know, every once in a while, you know, I hate these salt dick, Brits. But every once in a while, you do find a good one. You know, you've got your Statham, you got your Julian Sands when he's born, eventually.
Mm-hmm.
And, it runs in their biology, their DNA, this British DNA, that, you know, one in a million or so is pretty good. Every once in a while, you'll get a really, really good one. It's much like, what was it, 40 or 50 years ago when George Washington led us away from the British here in America.
Yeah, about 40 years ago. That sounds right.
About 40 years ago or so. George Washington himself at one point was British. So, a lot of those guys at the time who lived in America and went on to make America were British at one point or another in their life, or their parents were or something. So every once in a while you'll get a Brit who really wants to man up and, be a man and not be some sort of Monty Python joke or a Rowan Atkinson or somebody like this. And so it is in their DNA to be good every so often. I'll give them that.
Indeed. I'm glad you're kind of coming around, even though you're just conceding, to saying that you only like two people from England. Jason Statham and other dude.
I like Johnny Rotten as well. He might actually be the other one, Irish. Maybe he's Irish and just from England.
It could be.
I don't know.
You mean you can say the same thing about Morrissey. Like, you like Morrissey, but even in his song, he explains that he has an Irish blood and an English heart.
Yeah, or an Irish blood and a mechanical heart.
Yeah, a steampunk heart.
yeah, so there's a few good ones out there.
With the Rowan Atkinson thing, if I may continue the attack at Greg's request. Bean is acknowledged by even Brits as being not that great. it's just this thing where it's like, okay, I mean, he either dialed it in or he knew that he was going to embark on some sort of universal theme here that's not going to be popular with everybody, but universally, you'll get more of an audience. If you watch some of his earlier stuff, there's some bits that you would actually think like, okay, that's actually smart. But comedians now definitely downplay being like, oh yeah, that was kind of dumb, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Like there's a guy named, he's on that QI show with Stephen Fry. They get to talk, like somebody mentions Bean, they all collectively groan. They're like, yeah, that's why Germans, like they're talking about this sketch that gets played yearly in Germany. Like the Germans just love this wordless British sketch. It's almost like Bean, where it's like this butler who's pretending to have this full dinner, like a full set table for this dementia-ridden aristocrat woman. But he's pretending like there's a bunch of people there, and he's drunk because he hates doing this, and she's out of her gourd. But it goes on like this slapstick physical comedy of this guy pretending that there's people there for this gonzo woman. And it gets played in Germany every year, and they're talking about, like, how weird is that? They're like, well, yeah, I mean, that explains why Mr. Bean's so popular there. And they're like, oh, boy. Like, yeah, this and Mr. Bean, that's German humor for you. Like, oh, look. He's not playing by the rules. He's doing things he's not supposed to do. Ha ha ha. He walked one way, then turned around and walked the other. Sometimes I go to bed very late.
Mr. Bean, the bad boy of Germany.
Exactly. Yeah, now the bad boy of Germany.
Yeah, speaking of Stephen Fry, I found a quote that he said on the Tumblr of all places.
Weird. Quotes on Tumblr.
Yeah. I'm not sure how. Well, yeah. Well, quotes on Tumblr, not that uncommon, but this quote. I'm not sure how this got away with not being censored by somebody, but I think I love him now. He says, and I just found it, it's now very common to hear people say, I'm rather offended by that, as if that gives them certain rights. It's actually nothing more. It's simply a whine. It's no more than a whine. I find that offensive. It has no meaning. It has no purpose. It has no reason to be respected as a phrase. I'm offended by that. Well, so fucking what? So I like that guy's thinking.
You have that quote saved somewhere. I'm impressed.
Yeah, it's on my Tumblrs.
Nice. Yeah, of course. I mean, no shit. You should definitely love Stephen Fry because he's just like this, you know, very intelligent, outspoken, high-minded gay man who's able to, like, defend what he likes no matter what. And he also played Oscar Wilde in the film Wilde.
I like that, too. Well, all right. So throw him in the Statham-Julian Sands pile. He's one of the good ones, too.
Absolutely. All right. So thanks again, Greg. Everybody visit htbkicksass.com.
Yeah, those guys are totally awesome. Buy things from them.
Indeed. Our last written word is titled Real Life Screamers. It's from my brother, Jim. And he provides a link, which I'm assuming would lead to something... in the future, to a video clip or something like that, perhaps of a hilarious Brazilian prank that takes place in an elevator of lights going out in a lift and then a young girl appearing as a ghost. You may have seen this within the past couple weeks somewhere. And Jim writes, Ray Parker Jr. taught me in his hit song that I ain't afraid of no ghost. He also taught me in his lesser known B-side that when confronting a screaming ghost, one should go ahead and try sliding the sharpest knife in the drawer between their ghostly ribs. Worth a shot, anyway. Sincerely, Blake Sells Jr. I was wrong. This is not Jim. I thought that was correct. It's from Blake Sells Jr. So we have a new Blake Sell writing letters.
I'm seeing double here. 4 Blake Sells.
Well remembered. What do you think? Do you think a knife is any match for a ghost?
Not at all. As we've learned from popular culture, or as we've learned from Wes Craven, the only real way to get rid of a ghost or a dream demon is to tell it that it doesn't exist. And then you win and the movie's over. Because Wes Craven is a very hacky man.
We just gotta believe in ourselves.
Just believe in your dreams and your self-esteem will rise and Freddy will go away magically.
It's not a dream.
Yeah, and then at the end, your mom will get dragged through some sort of glass or a mirror by disembodied hands, just like in Phantasm, oddly enough.
Or not so oddly enough, you know.
Yeah, not oddly enough at all.
Pretty blatantly, yeah.
Yeah, Wes Craven saw Phantasm, and he said, I want to do that too. Yeah, I saw this. Well, actually, I heard it on the radio, this being 1952. I heard Orson Welles read about this video, and I would poop my pants if this happened to me. And this is, I guess, a reason why I could never go to Brazil or Japan. They do a lot of shows like this because I would just be so afraid that I would be on one of these shows where they scare the shit out of you or hurt you. And it'd be on a game show of some sort.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I guess it's better than like a home video. I mean, at least there's some sort of recourse you can take. Like, you scared the shit out of me. You literally scared the shit out of me into my pants. Somebody has to do this dry cleaning. If it's your friend who's just recording you for shits and giggles, it'd be a huge problem. And that seems to be more of the case in the States. I'd argue that just because of, you know, video posting sites.
Yeah, we're certainly getting there here. Like, I mean, at least here, it's like usually like your asshole friend that does it to you. Like, I can't imagine. Like in this video, like the host of the show or whoever it is, like the actor who plays the lady who tells these people to get into the elevator where they're going to be scared. Like, she's on the outside of it, like listening in, like with this huge smile on her face. Like, these people are like taking, like, they're being paid, in essence, to just be happy that you're so scared.
Yeah, they're reveling in your suffering like demons.
Yeah.
Which leads me to believe that Brazilian pranksters are demons.
That's possible. I think Jesse P.S. from the Pot Awful Show would back you up on that.
Or at least his dad would, right?
His whole family. They all hate Brazilians. But yeah, I would be totally scared by this. You watched it. You would be scared, right? Even though you don't believe in ghosts.
In that situation, I mean, come on. Like, it's obviously can paint the initial shock. You're like, whoa, what the hell? I thought I was alone in here. But then maybe you'd notice the elevator isn't moving. Maybe you could guess that, like, this giant lift would have, like, some moving panel or something. Like, yeah. You don't have to be Sherlock Holmes or anything.
Well, I mean, that's the whole thing of it, is that you're not expecting anything. Like, if you went into a haunted house and they're like, here's the crazy haunted elevator that goes to the haunted house, and that happened, then you would have, like, your logical mind, like, thinking about ways you could be scared. But if somebody was like, welcome to the job interview, here's the elevator, your
brain
wouldn't
and
go to that.
We don't really know what she's saying. That could have a lot to do with it. If she said something like, hey, yeah, like, welcome to the job interview, just go and press the button right here, which is obviously something that she's pointing out, but then she keeps talking. It's not just about, like, hey, here's the elevator. It's something more like, you know, we've had some trouble with this, and with a person who looks professional like she does and whatnot, it's probably more convincing and psychologically pressuring for you to be like, oh, okay, well, all right. Yeah, where you'd probably be more subdued to a prank like that. I see where you're coming from.
Yeah, I think if you just woke up and, like, had your normal day going and somebody scared you like this, it would be way more effective than if it was like, you know, welcome to the Halloween Superstore. Nothing scary here.
Also true. Yeah, because, I mean, how popular is Halloween in Brazil?
I don't know. We got to find out.
Yeah, because that's the other thing. Like, at least in the States, we somewhat expect it around Halloween. And we can kind of, you know, that's where we get a lot of our scares done for the year. Whether it's through movies or theme parks or corn mazes, if you're from the Midwest.
Yeah, people try to scare you the most. Like, even, like, your friends and stuff like to film it and make fun of you. They try to scare you the most in October and on April 1st, which is why, like, it hardly ever works out. But, like, if you were to, like, try to scare the shit out of somebody, like, July 17th, it would really work because they wouldn't be expecting it.
Yeah, exactly. And for a country that I'm not even sure celebrates the scare or the thrill of the scare, like, how scary would, I mean, those, I'm being convinced now that those scares are more genuine and I would probably be scared in the same situation.
Yeah. Yeah, for all we know, Brazilians have no Halloween, so they're not even used to having anything scary happen to them ever.
It's all parrots and sex down there. That's all I've learned from movies about Brazil.
Mm-hmm.
And a giant stone Jesus.
Yeah.
So, yeah, of course. Of course that would be scary. Like, seeing what looks like a dead girl holding a shabby doll just appearing. You have no other way to be scared. You're just having sex and looking at birds all the time.
Yeah, it's very scary. John Brown, you would be scared by this, right? By a ghost?
Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm. Very
scary. I hope
scary.
No one ever replaces this guy. He's fantastic.
He's going to be on the show forever.
Forever.
But yeah, so that's the end of this show, as a matter of fact.
What a year
it's been. What a year it's been. This is, next week we'll be back and we'll be celebrating the 6th year of Pool Party Radio on your AM band. And many more after that, I assume.
Yeah, jazz is forever. Long live jazz. rock and roll is dead.
Mm-hmm. Or not even invented. At this
it's
point.
Not. It's
one of the two.
Been aborted.
So go to poolpartyradio.com and get all of our episodes. Every single one is up there. If you just want like the last year's worth, you can do that on iTunes, which is a new thing here in 1952. You can also rate the show with 5 stars, 4 stars, or 5 stars. Give us comments, as that helps other people stumble upon the show. And that would help us, as the only nutrients we get in life and via this show are our feedbacks, like, listeners, and emails to poolpartyradio@gmail.com, and comments on the iTunes and things like that. That's what keeps us alive and keeps us going. From here to 60 years from now, those will keep us going. Also, our Facebook. One day we'll have a Facebook. Facebook.com/poolpartyradio. So check that out. Go check out Acid Pop Cult at acidpopcult.com or on iTunes. I was on their show last week or the week before. Also check out Rotten Rantings, which is at rottenrantings.com or on iTunes. That's a horror movie podcast where they talk about the horror movies. You know, they talk about The Thing from Another World on there, The Fly, that movie about like the large scary bunnies, Them about the big ants, all of the latest horror movies.
The giant bunnies. That was Night of the Lepus.
The Lepus. Night of the Lepers would be even scarier.
Yep. Instead, they went with giant rabbits.
Yeah, but I'm going to be on that show, I think, sometime in like the next week, if it's not already up at Rotten Rantings. So check that out. And check out junkfooddinner.com. They also talk about the horror movies, like Night of the Lepus and Night of the Lepus Dead.
I see what you did there.
I didn't do much, that's for sure. So without any further ado, this is Parker. All right. So this is Parker for John Brown and Jason Frisbee saying a good day with you, Chelios.
How lucky can one guy be? I kissed her and she kissed me. Like the fella once said, ain't that a kick in the head? The room was completely black. I hugged her and she hugged back. Like the sailor said, quote, ain't that a hole in a boat? My head keeps spinning. I go to sleep and keep grinning. If this is just the beginning, my life is gonna be beautiful. I've sunshine enough to spread. It's just like the fella said. Tell me quick, ain't love a kick in the head? Said, ain't that a kick in the head? Like like this sailor said, quote, ain't that a hole in a boat? My head keeps spinning, I go to sleep and keep grinning. If this is just the beginning, my life is gonna be beautiful. She's telling me we'll be wed. She's picked out a king-sized bed. I couldn't feel any better, or I'd be sick. Tell me quick.
It'll go a long way for me to admit that Stephen Fry is good. We'll get four more English listeners.
Just one man at a time. One person at a time. That's all I can ask.
Yeah. By the time we're done doing this podcast 100 years from now, I will have admitted to liking each and every citizen of England.
All eight of them.
Yeah. Well, I guess Marlowe Stansfield is okay after all. The shoemaker from Hastings. He's all right.
And Sir Arthur Conan Doyle. You like that dude. Even though I think he's Scottish?
I'm not sure. He might be Scottish. But I like him. And I like Oscar Wilde. Also Irish, though, I think.
Yeah. You have a pretty good point about... I mean, you're already making good headway with the discrepancy. Yeah, there's people in England that I like, but they're probably from somewhere else.
Yeah.
Okay.